You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. It's winter in Wisconsin, the time of year where a lot of us are ready to, well, just hibernate in our homes and just stir for a warm, hearty meal every now and again.
And a lot of us turn to soup for those meals, but our next guest says it's a meal that's best enjoyed with other people. And she says hosting soup nights can be an incredible way to bring people together and create a sense of community.
Maggie Stuckey is a writer and author. Her new book is Soup Night, Recipes for Creating Community Around a Pot of Soup. Maggie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, tell us about this idea of soup nights and how you got into them.
Well, I was invited to attend one at my hometown of Portland, Oregon. This is a soup night that's been going on. By the time I first met them, they'd been going on for about 5 years. It is all the families on one block, corner to corner on both sides of the street. They get together once a month. One family volunteers to be the host for that month, and they make two big pots of soup, one of which is vegetarian, and they serve soup and bread. And people sometimes bring other things, but that's not part of the deal. Their whole focus is, this is a very urban neighborhood with all the demographic variables that you would kind of expect in a big city. And there was a feeling by a couple of the families when their kids were really young that they wanted the children to be able to go outside in the front yard and play and be kids and not be afraid, not. If there was somebody coming down the sidewalk, they wouldn't have to have that moment of panic of, you know, whether that person's going to represent some kind of threat. They would know that it's a friend because they'd seen them around the neighborhood and they knew them on a real basis. And this one mom was trying to imagine how they could create that kind of environment. And the idea that she came up with is, let's just make a giant pot of soup and invite everybody and see what happens. And what's happened is that they have created an unbelievable real community on this one block. It's like a little small town smack in the middle of a big city. They're all very different from each other. They wouldn't naturally form any kind of connection or bonds of friendship because they have so many different interests and different ways of living their life. And yet, because they get together once a month and they have this meal together, they all kind of know each other in a really special small town kind of way. It's absolutely amazing and wonderful to watch.
So this was actually formed with the intent of trying to bring the neighborhood together.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Very, very, very deliberate intent. And the reason that it works is they all made a commitment to be inclusive. They invite everybody. I mean, it's real easy to have a party when you invite people you already know. And that's fun. And, you know, nobody's saying don't do that. But if your goal is to get people to know each other, then you have to include everybody.
And did it work from the get-go? I mean, did it just take off and keep going?
It did. It absolutely was so important that they, this neighborhood also has a block party in the late summertime. And it's so easy, it's so popular that all they do is somebody puts out a sign-up sheet at the block party and people get into arguments because they enjoy it so much. They want to make sure that they get to do it. So the sign-up sheet fills up in about 10 minutes, and that's all there is. It's so easy. Part of the reason it works is it's easy. All you do is you make the soup, and you probably send out a kind of an information sheet, either by email. Sometimes people do a small flyer, and the kids, you know, go up and down the street and hand it out. One of the things about this particular soup night, and I actually found this in several other places, is one of their goals is that whoever is the host that night shouldn't be burdened with any extra work, including dishwashing afterwards.
Mm, nice.
So part of the deal is you bring your own soup bowl and spoon and then take it back home with you. And so the first night I was ever there on this block, I stood on my brother's front porch and I watched this lovely parade of people going down the sidewalk and everybody's carrying an empty soup bowl. It's absolutely charming.
That's great. Now, you mentioned elsewhere. Is this an idea that's picking up outside of Portland where it sounds like it started?
It very much is. With when I started to really explore this and to look into it somewhat, I very easily found almost 50 different neighborhood groups around the country. I should say different groups. Most of them are neighborhoods, but sometimes they are organizations that aren't a geographic neighborhood, who host some kind of regular event, all with the same goal and all with the same mechanism. They did somehow it's a soup, it's a meal about soup, and every one of these groups has the same purpose, which is using it as a way to get people to know each other better. 30 of those groups are profiled in the book, and they are all over the country, literally coast to coast. And the really cool thing about this is every soup group I found is in a big city. I didn't find any in the suburbs. I mean, maybe people in the suburbs already know each other, but I would think, just if I hadn't had this opportunity to speak to all these people, that people in big cities have a tendency to kind of want to stay inside and just be kind of socially closed in and keep to themselves and just a few close friends. But in fact, these people all have exactly the opposite. They wanted to know their neighbors. They wanted to reach outward and build a community. And it is so wonderful to talk to them. They are so proud of what they've accomplished. They love to talk about it. They love to show it off. They're so excited when somebody comes to visit from out of state and it happens to be on a soup night. You know, they always go, they tell their, you know, mom and dad visiting from back home, you got to come and see this. You're just going to love it.
And we want to get into some of the recipes in a second or two, but I want to talk about the whole soup premise first of all. Would this have worked as well, do you think, if it were, you know, pizza night or cheeseburger night or something like that?
I think it would have worked almost as well, because the whole thing is, you know, to get people mm-hmm. together. First of all, when you get people sitting around a table and sharing a meal together, something good is going to happen. But I have concluded, having watched this over a couple of years now, that the soup itself adds an almost magical quality, because there's something about the soup as a dish. It's warm, it's comforting, it's nourishing. I mean, when we all remember when we were kids and we were sick, Mom brought up a bowl of chicken noodle soup and we instantly felt better. Soup just makes you feel better on so many levels, and it's. I was at a soup night once when I was watching a couple of people who don't know each other, but they were sitting opposite each other on the table, and they both had their hands around the bowl, kind of warming their hands, and they would lean in and they smell how wonderful the soup smells, and then they made eye contact and they realized they were both kind of doing the same thing, and they smiled at each other, and that's the beginning of a relationship.
I want to spend our last couple minutes talking about the soup itself now. Can you give us a couple of your favorite? You divide it up by season. Can you hit us with a couple great winter soup ideas that we can use here in a cold month in Wisconsin?
Isn't it great soup weather, boy?
It is. It is.
One of my favorites, and it's my favorite for several reasons. One, it's very inexpensive, and you almost always have the ingredients on hand. Is African peanut soup, which is basically a rice, tomato, chicken stock, or vegetable stock, but it has a good big spoonful of peanut butter in it, mm-hmm. which adds protein if you choose to make it a vegetarian version, and adds this kind of mysterious flavor that nobody can really identify, and they end up saying, what is it that I'm tasting? And when I say peanut butter, they don't believe it. But it's really, really wonderful. There's a number of soups that use kind of good leftovers, like some people still have their leftover turkey stock from Thanksgiving, maybe. Turkey and bean, and turkey and kale and bean. It's almost like asking a parent which is your favorite child. There's 99 soup recipes in the book, and I have to say I enjoy them all.
So let's say that somebody wanted to start their own soup night in whatever town or city that they live in. How do you get started doing that?
Well, if you're in a neighborhood, that's kind of the easiest way to think about it. Maybe you're going to go your whole block or your cul-de-sac if your neighborhood is organized that way. The very best thing to do, pick a night. Sunday evening, early Sunday evening seems to work well for people. And the time, a good time frame so that people know there's a definite thing they can think about in terms of time. I'm going to say, let's say, 6 to 8 or 5 to 7. So it's going to be a school night, so there's still time for kids to get organized for school tomorrow. For the first time, the person who's doing it should be the host, and because then they can explain what the idea is. And go to every house, have a small handout ready to leave if people are not home, kind of explaining the idea. I found it works really well if two people go together so that you choose as your partner somebody who knows the folks that you do not know. So between the two of you, you will know almost everybody. And then you just sort of introduce yourself. Hi, we're having soup at my house this coming Sunday. Hope you can come. Here's some information about it. I talked to a woman a while ago who told me about her experiences starting up, and she said, I never had anybody say to me, go away.
That's great. Maggie, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
That's Maggie Stuckey. She's the author of Soup Nights, Recipes for Creating Community Around a Pot of Soup.